You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, November 27th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad to have you here for today's show, this little week between Thanksgiving holiday and my upcoming holiday, because I'm heading to the beautiful 7 Mile Beach of Jamaica. We're headed into Grill Jamaica for vacation. Do this every year for the past couple of years. This will be my third year going. Really looking forward to it because we worked hard all year. And I know some people are like, geez, Russ, you're all over the country. You go to Atlanta and to Seattle and Dallas and all these other places. Like, you need to go to a vacation? Like, and folks, yes, I do. Yes, I do. You got to understand, doing these road gigs that I do, how much work actually goes into them. And you should just follow me along sometime. And it's just amazing the miles I cover walking event expos and the amount of time in hotel rooms I'm downloading and processing and organizing recordings. So, yeah, it's nice to get out to Jamaica, get out somewhere where there's white sand beaches, not a whole lot of Wi-Fi, no cellular coverage, can just disconnect. Smoke some ganja, drink some rum punch, some Blue Mountain freshly picked Jamaican coffee with some rum cream. Really looking forward to it. But this week we're going to have some shows. Next week we're off for a couple weeks, but this week we'll have some shows. And on today's show, I'm bringing back a cannabis Q&A segment with Dr. Mitch, where we talked about Ann Coulter and her belief that black people lie on drug use surveys. Yeah, really. So we'll get to that. Also on today's show, in the Radical Rant, we take a look at the great state of Hawaii and how their cops are taking away the guns of registered medical marijuana patients. I called out to the state of Hawaii today. Their public safety division got some really chilling news about that. We'll get to that in the Radical Rant. In the What About the News segment today, we're going to talk about how the high from marijuana messes up the double blind of doing a double blind placebo-controlled study. Like, duh, people know when they're getting high or not getting high. Of course, we'll start everything off with the cannabis headline news, and we're checking you out on the chat room as well. Thanks for joining us here for the Marijuana Agenda. Now, let's get to the news.
This is your cannabis headline news, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Monday, November 27th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. The Attorney General under George W. Bush, who successfully fought for the federal government's right to prosecute medical marijuana patients, is now telling the current Attorney General that such prosecutions are a, quote, pretty low priority, end quote. In an interview with Newsweek, Alberto Gonzalez, the Republican Attorney General who won the Gonzalez v. Raich Supreme Court case, the one that affirmed federal law supersedes state medical marijuana law, even when such use is proven to be wholly confined within a legal state, he said regarding prosecuting state legal medical marijuana providers, quote, with respect to everything else that's going on in the U.S., this is a pretty low priority. To prosecute an act that is otherwise lawful under state law, one could make the argument that as a matter of policy, we've got other priorities we ought to be spending our resources on, end quote. Gonzalez also said, quote, the optics just aren't very good, quite frankly, end quote, when it comes to prosecuting medical marijuana. Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat from Hawaii, issued a statement over the holiday bringing attention to the role medical cannabis has in reducing the ravages of opioid addiction. Quote, as the opioid addiction epidemic continues to spread across the country, states that have legalized medical marijuana have seen addiction rates drop and opioid abuse deaths decrease by over 20%, end quote, Gabbard posted on Facebook. She then added, quote, I'm calling on the Department of Health and Human Services to allow medical marijuana to serve as an alternative pain management treatment to opioids to help curb the ongoing opioid epidemic, end quote. Gabbard, who still serves as a major in the Hawaii National Guard, served two tours of duty in the Middle East. She is currently a co-sponsor of federal legislation to remove marijuana from Schedule 1 and believes, quote, whether an individual chooses to use marijuana or not should be treated the same as whether they choose to use alcohol or tobacco, end quote. Marijuana Moment digs deep into a new study that finds marijuana advertising doesn't entice non-tokers to try cannabis. Tom Angel writes, quote, the study, funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse and published online on Tuesday, mostly focuses on describing the reach of marijuana advertisements across communities in Oregon, end quote. The study's abstract notes that, quote, people who do not use marijuana were as exposed to advertising as other groups, end quote. There were no significant differences in advertising exposure based on age, race, or home ownership. People with college degrees and people in neighborhoods with a marijuana store reported greater exposure to advertising. The study also identified a potential benefit of neighborhood marijuana stores as one of the few public locations offering any sort of marijuana safety education. The Miami Herald is reporting that millionaire defense attorney John Morgan, who helped propel medical marijuana to victory in Florida through two elections, will not be running for governor. In a series of tweets Friday morning, John Morgan announced his flirtation with running for governor as a Democrat is over, as his affiliation with either political party. Quote, while it's amazing to be leading the polls for governor without being a candidate, I can't muster the enthusiasm to run for the nomination, end quote, he wrote, following up with, quote, and I can't muster enthusiasm for any of today's politicians. They are all the same, both parties. I plan to register as an independent, and when I vote, vote for the lesser of two evils. And if I ever ran, run as an independent, end quote. Ben Pallara, the marijuana activist who partnered with Morgan in their quest to get marijuana on the ballot, said he'd be disappointed if Morgan didn't run. Quote, even as a non-candidate, he generated more enthusiasm than any of the current candidates, end quote, said Pallara, executive chairman of the advocacy group Florida for Care. In Oregon, Yamhill County Circuit Court Judge John Collins has refused to dismiss a complaint by vineyard owners that a proposed cannabis farm would affect their wine grapes. Capital Press reports that a judge ruled Oregon's right to farm law doesn't provide aspiring marijuana growers with blanket immunity from a lawsuit. A nearby vineyard owner claimed the marijuana odors would damage wine grapes with, quote, foul-smelling particles, end quote, and sought an injunction against cultivation of the psychoactive crop. The judge allowed the injunction despite lacking any evidence that cannabis cultivation affects viticulture because, quote, a party may seek injunctive relief not just to halt an ongoing harm, but also to head off that harm if the harm can reasonably be predicted to occur in the reasonably near future, end quote.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. If you appreciate my full-time dedication to reporting and analyzing the news about cannabis, consider becoming a patron of the show. For just $4.20 per month, you'll help keep my live stream and podcast free while earning yourself your own private ad-free podcast link for the show, as well as links to the supporting articles and data. For a $9.99 VIP subscription, you'll get all that plus my exclusive research, data tables, and graphics. Just log on to mjagenda.com and click the Become a Patron button today.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the conservative agenda, minus the hypocrisy.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
People can say no to drugs.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great
to infect and rot our nation.
Dangerous gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
What in the news?
Well, here we are in What in the News, where we take a look at the day's headlines and give you my take on them. The first story today, of course, former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez saying that medical marijuana prosecutions are a pretty low priority to Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Isn't it interesting how these guys come around on policy and how low priority and no big deal, and we ought to legalize, we ought to decriminalize after they're out of office, after they have the power to do something about that? I remember quite well Alberto Gonzalez executing a lot of prosecutorial discretion to go after medical marijuana providers, to go after medical marijuana patients. Maybe he just learned his lesson. Maybe the Quinnipiac polls showing 93% nationwide support for medical marijuana had something to do with it. Or maybe, as he said, the quote in the piece, the optics just aren't very good, quite frankly. Doesn't ever look good for the jackbooted thugs of the federal government to be locking up people in wheelchairs. Only took them 20 years to figure that out. Now, the next story we had was Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii calling on HHS, Health and Human Services, to allow for medical marijuana use to reduce opioid addiction. And this is notable because she's got such military bona fides, two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. She's a major in the National Guard. She's well respected by military type folks. And, you know, as a Democrat, that can be difficult to achieve sometimes. So to have her weighing in on this is very, very good. And HHS, of course, is where you got veterans services, too, that we have to talk about. And where we're finding movement in that area is a story coming from the Associated Press on veterans are the key as surge of states okay medical pot for PTSD. And it's a story that's telling, recapping New York Governor Andrew Cuomo approving the legislation to allow post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition for medical cannabis. And that means that New York is the second to last state to do this. We got 29 medical marijuana states, 28 of them will allow use of medical cannabis for post-traumatic stress. The only one that doesn't is Alaska. But Alaska is a special case. It's got legalization, so anyone over 21 already can get cannabis. And it's got a personal privacy law. Their privacy protections in their state constitution are so such that the right of the government to infringe on your home is not as strong as your privacy, right? Your privacy outweighs their right to come search your home for weed, right? Up to 4 ounces, up to like 25 plants. And that's been in effect for decades, right? It's varied how much they've interpreted that to mean. The case was Raven v. Alaska. It was 1975 that was decided, where Alaska's privacy in their constitution basically said, look, the right of the state to go after people for weed is not a big enough deal to violate someone's privacy. And I think originally that was set to 1 ounce and a few plants, and then it went up to 4 ounces and a few. I think what we're at now is 4 ounces and 25 plants, although somebody with better knowledge of Alaska could correct me on that. But it's enough that if you've got post-traumatic stress, you pretty much have access. So this is great news, and it's great that the Associated Press has picked up on this and picked up on the veterans organizations. The Veterans Cannabis Collective Foundation is named in this one. Marijuana Policy Project is named. And we've got American Legion. The 2.2 million members of the American Legion, which is your largest veterans advocacy group, pressed the Department of Veterans Affairs to allow the VA doctors to recommend medical marijuana where it's allowed, not in every state, but just where the people of that state have approved of it. And it's just sad. And our friend, Michael Kravitz from the Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access is also quoted in the piece saying it's quite a sea change how VA has now responded to these veterans and how PTSD is now being recognized in so many states. So great news for our nation's veterans, as we continue, there's still an act out there, the Carers Act. It's been stalled in committee. You can call your congresspeople about this, call your senators. And the Carers Act would basically allow Veterans Affairs doctors explicitly to recommend and sign for cannabis forms, medical cannabis forms in the states where that's allowed. Rand Paul's behind this, Cory Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand, a few others who I'm probably forgetting. But great act, the CARES Act, and then also Tulsi Gabbard, who we were mentioning, the Hawaii representative, is co-sponsoring a piece of legislation to remove cannabis from Schedule 1, which
only makes sense, right? We've got all these cannabinoid medicines, Nabilone, Dronabinol, Marinol, the different brand names and generic names, lots of them that have been approved as Schedule 2 and Schedule 3 drugs. And it just makes no sense to say that the constituents of a plant are legal, but the plant they come from is not. That makes no sense. That's like saying, okay, you can have vitamin C. It's okay. You can have vitamin C, but oranges are illegal. We can't let you have oranges. You might abuse them. You might like the taste of oranges and just eat a whole bunch of oranges and get way too much vitamin C, right? Nobody thinks that. For some reason, these people think that it can only be a medicinal product if it's synthesized down to its constituents, down to its individual molecules. Oh, well, this much THC and this much CBD and measured and always exact. And that's just as ridiculous as saying only vitamin C you get from a pill is nutritious. When we actually find eating the orange is better for you. You absorb the vitamin C better eating the orange. The pulp from the orange, the juice, it all works together to help your body absorb that vitamin C like it did in nature. Like you'd expect. Pick an orange off a tree, eat it, get some vitamin C. That same concept exists for cannabis. We call it the entourage effect. You get all of this stuff put together by nature for a reason. And it's not consistent. And it doesn't have to be consistent because it's non-toxic. We can understand why your fentanyl spray needs to have an exact measured dose. Because you take too much of that, you're going to die. We have a reason why your pain-relieving pill has to have a precise recipe for it. It has a precise certain amount of constituents together and certain milligrams and micrograms. Because if you don't, it can hurt your liver. It can kill you, right? With cannabis, you can't die. You can't even seriously get ill. So what difference does it make that it's not consistent? And speaking of cannabis and its consistency, one of the things that we consistently know about cannabis is it gets you high. And so we've been talking to Dr. Mitch Earlywine for going on 9 years now in a cannabis Q&A segment that's coming up next. And oftentimes we've brought up that the lack of double-blind placebo-controlled studies, the so-called gold standard for your clinical trials. Double-blind placebo-controlled. What that means is one group gets the real deal, one group gets sugar pill, gets something that's fake. And the groups don't know whether they're in the goody group or the fake group. And the doctors don't know who's in the goody group or the fake group. That's what the double blind means. The patients don't know. The doctors don't know. Everybody's getting something. But only the bean counters are keeping track of who's getting what. The statisticians, right? The researchers. So I always opined on this subject. How do you do a double blind placebo-controlled study on marijuana when the people who get the placebo are going to know they got the placebo, especially if they've ever smoked weed before in their life? That's the problem I've always thought with this. Like, you can't really do a double-blind placebo. You can do a single-blind. You can do single-blind where the doctors don't know who's getting the fake weed, who's getting the real weed, but not at the patient level. We're going to know, are we getting high or not? That's why we smoke weed. So that was the subject of an article in Marijuana Moment that Tom Angel brought up. This researcher is published in the Journal of American Medical Association, the Eternal Medicine Journal. Dr. David Kasseret of Duke University School of Medicine is saying basically what I'm saying is trial subjects can distinguish between active cannabis and placebo. These participants guess their group assignment in large part because they detect the psychoactive properties of the active cannabis treatment. That is, the design of the study provides inadequate blinding. And I've thought this many a time as he brought this up. So Kasseret, Dr. Kasseret from Duke, starts talking about, well, how are we going to correct for that? How are we going to correct for the fact that the placebo group's not getting high? And his answer, find another drug that gets the placebo group high that isn't marijuana, but does the same thing. Right? Makes your heart race, gives you dry mouth, makes your eyes red, gives you a little bit of euphoria, but it's not pot. Like, okay, number one, once you come up with this drug for the placebo group, don't you think that's going to become the next new big thing?
the drug that gets you high just like marijuana, but doesn't show up on a drug test like marijuana? I mean, this. Okay, Doc, I say we just legalize. I think 7,000 years is probably enough study.
The Nile ain't just the river in Egypt.
Oh, man, that clip just doesn't play as good anymore, does it? I'm just glad Bob Ross and Fred Rogers, you know, Happy Little Trees and Mr. Rogers, I'm glad they're dead. Just so I don't have to worry about a sex assault allegation coming out against them from 40 years ago. Hey, happy 420, Denver, and we'll be right back with Dr. Mitch after this.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
This is high purity THC content marijuana, and it's not a healthy substance.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
The International Cannabis Business Conference is headed to Hawaii. Get your tickets now for the year's best cannabis industry island retreat this December 1st through 3rd. Kauai Grand Hyatt hosts the three-day ICBC, which begins with a VIP reception featuring cannabis comedian Doug Benson. The ICBC features exhibitor booths, keynote speeches, and informative panels with industry experts and regulatory officials. Then, when it's all said and done, kick back for the incredible after party with music by reggae legends Morgan Heritage. There's also a singles golf tournament you can play on Monday, sponsored by Leafly Endured Ventures. Log on to internationalcbc.com to get more information and buy your tickets now. Special discount hotel rates are in effect, so act fast. That's internationalcbc.com for the International Cannabis Business Conference. Aloha.
Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Hi, I'm John Bon Jovi, and I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine. It's not everyday fun. It's not good for you. All right, so listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no women's out there doing it.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com. New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Learn more at mjagenda.com.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you're a cannabis brand looking to build trust and awareness within the community, consider becoming a sponsor of this program. Your message will be seen and heard by the most dedicated followers of marijuana policy reform, who are loyal and supportive of those brands that give back to the community. Just log on to mjagenda.com and click the Become a Patron button to learn how your brand can also be featured in my live nationwide appearances. Thank you for your support.
This is Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Dr. Early Wine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and author of numerous books and columns on cannabis science, culture, history, and medicine. Email your questions to Dr. Early Wine at 420research@gmail.com or call the Marijuana Agenda message line at 650-LEGAL-MJ. Now, here's your cannabis Q&A.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of our Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, where we review the latest in marijuana science. Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the program.
Always a pleasure.
Well, I'm so glad to get you on because a noteworthy expert on marijuana affairs recently reared her ugly head. Ann Coulter was in a debate recently at Politicon with Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks, and during the debate, when Anna Kasparian brought up the point about black folks and white folks using marijuana at the same rates, Anne brought up a retort that caught me by surprise, saying she had seen studies that showed that those figures are unfair for us to claim with the racial disparity because, in Anne Coulter's words, black people lie more on surveys of marijuana use. First time I've ever heard this, Dr. Mitch, and I wanted to get your opinion on that statement.
I have no data, and I've literally looked since you sent me this to suggest there aren't any racial differences on underreporting, and there actually are techniques for doing this. I've published research myself showing that people lie about committing anti-gay hate crimes, about telling racist jokes. They lie about the frequency of safe sex. And I have data to really show that. I have never seen any racial disparities on any measures of lying about anything, and certainly not about cannabis use.
Yeah, it seemed odd to me. I think Politico or one of the online features followed up on that, and Coulter had referenced some study about taking people's, you know, self-reported marijuana use and then drug testing them later to find out if they'd actually had any drug in their system. But of course, we've reported before how that's disproportionately unfair to African Americans and Mediterranean people, people of Mediterranean descent, when they're doing those kind of hair tests. Are there other indications that would make that skew more with a racial bias?
Actually, the study that did that, that compared the cannabis use self-report and urine screens doesn't show a racial disparity. So I really am kind of lost as far as how she got this into her head. I'm guessing she just misremembered it and thought it was consistent with her stereotypes and let it go from there.
Well, you've got to take anything with a grain of salt from a woman who says, quote, marijuana is making people retarded, end quote. So we'll leave that at that. Let's get to some real science here on the program. There was a recent study out, say, on cannabis and exercise performance as to whether or not it's performance enhancing for strength or aerobic activity. What did we get from this latest research?
I mean, the bottom line here is I'm delighted that anybody's, you know, willing to take a look at this kind of work, and we don't want to start thinking about cannabis as a performance-enhancing drug. I know that sounds like a Robin Williams routine, but there are a subset of folks who genuinely do report, particularly in sort of aerobic-type work, that exercise-induced asthma is kind of inhibited as far as that goes. And then a number of folks who say they can lift more weight in part because of some of the anesthetic qualities of THC, but really don't see large sample work supporting the idea that cannabinoids really enhance aerobic exercise or strength. And so if, you know, if you're believing it and it's working for you, by all means, be careful and go ahead. But the large sample reports just don't suggest that's the case.
So looking at that from the performance point of view, maybe not. But what happens as we look at recovery or rest or, you know, coming back from an injury? Is cannabis helpful in any of those ways?
Unfortunately, there aren't enough studies to really draw any firm conclusions, given cannabis's, you know, pretty legendary anti-inflammatory qualities. It makes sense that should work, but we haven't seen data really say, hey, this is a good approach to training.
Another issue in doing these studies, especially when we want to go for those gold standard double-blind placebo-controlled studies, is the whole idea of this placebo effect, which I've always thought was kind of a strange thing to think about when we're talking about marijuana smoking, since you can feel it immediately. Wouldn't you know you're getting the placebo? But there's a new study out about placebo effects on edible cannabis, which I would think there could be something there because, you know, you don't feel it so immediately. What do we know about this placebo effect on edibles and just in cannabis use in general?
So we are finding significant intoxication ratings at about half an hour out when folks are giving an edible placebo. I'm happy to say this is one of the few papers I've seen where most of the authors have actually been on the Russ Bell show.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of nice to see Mallory and Melissa and I did this. And Mallory really spearheaded this work. We got some of those rather distasteful, I'm afraid, cannabis lollipops, but they were placebo, so they tasted a bit like tasting, I don't know, your lawn or something. They really were not my favorite ingested cannabis edible. But at about that half-hour spot, folks are reporting an intoxication effect, and before they realize, hey, something's up, that would be the ideal time to then sort of test, is there a placebo-related change in, say, cognition or subjective effects or other measures? When they really genuinely do seem to believe they're intoxicated, it does wear off after time and people do get suspicious, but it was neat to be able to see that effect. And we also have some fun things with, as you might guess, mood.
Yeah. So many of my listeners have said, boy, someday I want to be in one of Dr. Mitch's surveys, one of Dr. Mitch's experiments. Folks, every now and then you just might get the shitty tasting lollipop that doesn't get you high.
That's true. It's the risk you take in our lab.
I guess so. All right. There's a couple of other studies here, more like analyses. First one here in the Journal of Drug and Alcohol Dependence about the association between regular marijuana use and adult mental health outcomes. What do we take away from this one?
I mean, I think the real message to take away is just people are not randomly assigned to use cannabis for life. And so the chicken and egg problems really are huge as far as who might end up self-medicating depending upon what symptoms they're experiencing. But the highlights on this suggest that what a surprise, if you are a chronic marijuana user, you are more likely to report some of the symptoms of substance use disorders for other drugs, particularly tobacco-related ones. And then there is an association with generalized anxiety disorder. It's really hard to tease that apart, but I do think it's fair to say that there is a subset of folks who have that kind of paranoid reaction to cannabis occasionally, and if you're already a little bit high-strung, this may end up being problematic for you. I think the tacit assumption that marijuana is causing these problems is completely untested and probably untrue.
Yeah, and I would encourage listeners to not gloss over the very first part of your statement where you mention that we don't randomly assign people to smoke marijuana, so we can't really tease a lot of these things out. I'd point out that, you know, where you grow up, what your circumstances in life are, that's going to have a lot to do with it. I mean, if you're a guy like me growing up in a trailer house in the rural West, you probably have more chance of smoking weed than, say, Donald Trump growing up in Manhattan with a $1 million inheritance from his father. He's not going to be exposed to it, and hence he has not ever used drugs, at least according to his own testimony on the issue, his own stories on the issue. But I'd argue I've probably come out with better mental health.
I would say the data are on your side.
Thank you. Our final story in our cannabis Q&A here is about CBD. We've heard a lot about CBD, cannabidiol, and of course, we've also heard a lot about getting medical cannabis to our veterans and other victims of trauma who are dealing with post-traumatic stress. This study seems to put the two together in saying that cannabidiol has an effect on fear memories. So tell our listeners about this one. It's really fascinating.
This is super delightful to see these data, and the bottom line is that consolidation of fear in that hippocampus where memory really seems to by regular cannabidiol consumption. And I feel like we have more and more evidence that at least for folks who are at risk for traumatizing thing. A regular, you know, 10 to 50 milligram daily vitamin of cannabidiol is probably going to be a really good idea, because you're less likely to have the memory consolidate and become a sort of PTSD type situation. But there are literally no effects on short-term memory at all for cannabidiol. So it's not as if you're sacrificing your memory function, and you're still, at least according to these animal data, relatively less likely to develop some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder.
So when we say consolidation of fear memories, is that like long-term storage, you know, saving the file permanently, and CBD is disrupting the save process there?
Exactly. And what's neat is that it's doing so for the traumatic memory, but not for short-term memory in general.
Ah, yeah. And so does this suggest then that CBD rather than THC is the direction that patients with those needs should be looking?
I do find that that's going to go down easier as a recommendation, simply because CBD isn't psychoactive.
Yeah, good point. Well, Dr. Mitch, we're just about out of time here on our cannabis Q&A, but I want to remind all the listeners out there that if you've got a question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, you can always send it privately through the email at 420research@gmail.com. And who knows, some of these questions have actually become the basis of some of these studies that Dr. Mitch puts on. You could get the lousy tasting lollipop in the future. Who knows? Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us again, and good luck on all your future research.
Have a great day, man.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z. Cannabis Kamikaze.
The Marijuana Agenda. Kevin Sabet's Boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Just say no.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think we'd be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
Perhaps between the thoughts and prayers we offer for the gun massacre of the week, you've taken some time to educate yourself about the leading organization fighting to defend the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the National Rifle Association, or NRA. Hold up. This isn't a pro-gun rant. This isn't an anti-gun rant. This is an anti-hypocrisy rant. The NRA says it believes strongly in the Second Amendment, which states, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, they pretty much ignore the first half of that and steadfastly adhere to the second half. The NRA will tolerate no law that in any way infringes on a citizen's right to have a gun. This has led to the NRA twisting arms in Congress to the point where we've maintained loopholes in background checks so big that 40% of the people who acquire guns legally are not checked. The NRA and its followers have lobbied for and won the right of blind people to bear arms in some states, even when they can't legally drive. They've even managed to protect the right of people on the government's terrorist watch lists to continue amassing as large an arsenal as they so choose. Now again, I'm not writing that to choose sides. I'm not arguing that's a good or a bad thing, because I know about half the marijuana audience is gun nuts, and the other half is gun grabbers. I'm just talking about this to call out the NRA for defending the gun rights of anonymous purchasers, blind people, and suspected terrorists, but remaining silent on the gun rights of medical marijuana patients. Through Facebook today, I was forwarded an official letter a registered Hawaii patient received from the Honolulu Police Department. It read, quote, "This letter is to inform you that under provisions of the Hawaii Revised Statutes, Section 134-7A, you are disqualified from firearms ownership, possession, or controlling firearms. Your medical marijuana use disqualifies you from ownership of firearms and ammunition. Hawaii Revised Statutes 134-7.3, seizure of firearms upon disqualification. If you currently own or have any firearms, you have 30 days upon receipt of this letter to voluntarily surrender your firearms, permit, and ammunition to the Honolulu Police Department or otherwise transfer ownership. A medical doctor's clearance letter is required for any future firearms applications or return of firearms from Hawaii Police Department evidence." End quote. Now, it's important to note that it's Hawaii Revised Statute Section 134-7A that is cited as the disqualifying statute, because Hawaii Revised Statute 134-7C is the section that prohibits gun ownership for people, quote, "under treatment or counseling for addiction to, abuse of, or dependence upon any dangerous, harmful, or detrimental drug," end quote. So, Hawaii isn't taking patients' guns because Hawaii believes medical marijuana patients are abusing marijuana. Hawaii is taking patients' guns because the federal government believes medical marijuana patients are abusing marijuana. Because they refer to Section 134-7A, which is disqualifying Hawaii patients because, quote, "no person who is a fugitive from justice or is a person prohibited from possessing firearms or ammunition under federal law shall own, possess, or control any firearm or ammunition therefore," end quote. Folks, I grew up in gun-loving Idaho, and one of the primary reasons NRA members would give me for fighting any sort of firearms registration requirement was that we can't trust the government to maintain a list they could use to take people's guns away. Well, what is Hawaii's medical marijuana registry now? Now, it struck me as odd that this patient received this letter from the Honolulu Police Department. How would they know that this person is both a gun owner and a medical marijuana patient? Originally, Hawaii's medical marijuana law was under the auspices of the Department of Public Safety, the COPS, the only state where law enforcement controlled the medical marijuana program, until a new law moved it to the Department of Health in 2015. So, pre-2015, I could understand how the COPS could be snooping. Shouldn't be, but I can understand how they could be snooping in a registry they controlled. But how are the COPS snooping into a database maintained by the Department of Health? Well, according to the Department of Health's website, quote, "the Department of Health is also required to provide law enforcement officials
with limited access to the Medical Cannabis Registry Program's database as a tool to safeguard the community against illegal cannabis use and or illegal cannabis grow sites. End quote. Apparently that limited access now includes fishing expeditions for taking patients' guns away. Now, the letter is signed by Police Chief Susan Ballard and Major Raymond Anchetta from the Records and Identification Division. I called them for more information, but was informed the chief was unavailable and the major was on vacation. So, I called a reference number on the letter for an Officer Cruz from the Firearms Unit. He explained to me that his supervisor, a Sergeant Leanna, is the only person from law enforcement who can access the health department's medical marijuana registry. Apparently, this sergeant can do this snooping of his own accord and without any identifiable cause. He just can look people up and send them letters to take their guns away. Now, I called his direct number for confirmation, but I didn't receive a response by airtime. And folks, this isn't the first time this has happened. The 1968 Gun Control Act makes it a federal law to deny guns and ammo to anyone who is deemed, quote, an unlawful user of or addicted to any controlled substance, end quote. And Hawaii's medical marijuana law means nothing to the feds. Marijuana is a controlled substance under federal law, and using it forfeits your Second Amendment rights under federal law. Here in Oregon, some county sheriffs use that federal law to deny the renewal of concealed carry permits to registered medical marijuana patients. Normal Legal Committee attorney Leland Berger took that case, it's called Willis v. Winters, all the way up to the Oregon Supreme Court, which ruled that county sheriffs couldn't deny the permits because their job is to enforce Oregon law, not federal law. But that case was the cops reacting to someone's submission of a permit form. In Hawaii, it appears the cops are proactively seeking patients to deny their firearms rights. Is anybody going to take up this case in Hawaii to force the cops to follow state law and not federal law? And will anybody join me in asking the NRA why they fight for suspected terrorists and blind people's gun rights, but not medical marijuana patients? Or why the NRA is so protective of gun owners' privacy that they'll fight closing background check loopholes, but they could care less about a patient's personal medical records being used by the government to disarm them? And when you think about it, who needs a gun to defend themselves more than a medical cannabis patient who's frail and disabled trying to grow a bunch of cannabis plants in their backyard? That's what the Second Amendment was intended for. Well, this case will be in my thoughts and prayers, along with the victims of this week's mass shooting, whenever it happens. And it'll probably be just as effective at changing any policies. Thanks for joining us, folks.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ Belville. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Until that time, take care of each other, tokers. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you smoke it.